within DAS operations, it's all about the data and how you can defend your point of view.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to SaaS Me Unfiltered. You know, the other day I got to thinking, there's marketing ops, there's DevOps, there's data ops, there's RevOps. Roles built to bring structure where business complexity lives. So why not SaaS ops? SaaS is one of the biggest areas of spend in the enterprise. Think tens and tens of millions of dollars. Yet it's still managed without clear ownership or processes. Today, we're joined by Vlad Sapko, VP of Business Operations at Insurity, a leader who's built a real SaaS operations program focused on people, process, and driving business outcomes. Vlad, we are so glad to have you on the show. Welcome to SaaS Me Unfiltered.
Thank you so much, guys. Super excited, and thanks for having me.
Yeah, Vlad, very excited to have you as well. You know, I want to draw on Meredith's statement and really build on that thought that she shared around the different types of ops roles inside most organizations. At Xylo, we think about SaaS operations in terms of building and maintaining a system of record, operationalizing your renewal readiness, and then actual renewal execution to drive waste removal. But we recently launched a service called SaaS Operations to help clients tackle just that, which is almost a carbon copy of what your team is already doing. So you were an inspiration of sorts, Vlad. But I'd love your thoughts. Do you think there's a need today for SaaS ops to effectively be able to run a SaaS management program, meaning the definition and the rollout of a program in addition to technology and process behind the scenes?
I personally believe yes, there absolutely is. Of course, it depends on the organizational needs and immediate needs and the future growth, right? But overall, there definitely is the need of a controlling and a governing body to run all of those processes as smooth as possible and to help business navigate through these complex changes where like every single process, every single business process that exists is a living thing, right? And it continues improving, continues changing, and not having the ops team on the SaaS side of things is make it way more complicated for the business to grow and introduces an additional risk of a shadow IT.
Yeah, I think that resonates. You know, prior to launching a SaaS management program, managing SaaS is manual. It's scattered. It's chaotic. And you've really been able to operationalize a wonderful program at Insurity. How do you define SaaS ops at Insurity and its function within your business? And then what outcome are you really driving toward as a SaaS management function?
In our world, our SaaS ops started covering way more than just SaaS. Mm-hmm. Because we went and we put into under one umbrella our FinOps function and the SaaS ops function. But essentially, this is where you get this visibility into the entire spend. You get the visibility into entire saving plan. And then you help the business control their roadmap to a certain extent, because now it's not only about the client request, it's not only about what the market needs, it's also about what the business needs to stay profitable and continue bringing as much margin as possible, right? So, and from the definition perspective, is the governing body allowing to control or facilitating to control the spend within the organization when it comes to SaaS, and in our case, also the hosting spend.
Vlad, when talking through that, did you have a specific business outcome associated with the program? Was it, you know, cost savings or cost avoidance or visibility? What were you and your team through this SaaS operations program really driving towards?
Absolutely, there was. So originally, we started blindly, right? We just basically, let's try to consolidate this all into one place and centralize and help the business do what they need and not mm-hmm. to think about these other things. And we uncovered a lot of interesting things, sometimes mostly unpleasant things, especially when it comes, again, going back to the shadow IT and going back to the practices different stakeholders were using when it was coming to the negotiation, to the sizing of the agreements. We found a lot of overprovisioned subscriptions. We found a lot of bad deals because, again, it's not these stakeholders' strongest skill set, right? To be doing these types of things. It is a function. It is a full-time job where you have to be involved. You need to understand what the benchmark is. You need to understand what the market landscape is. You need to know when the quarter end of the vendor is. You need to know when the fiscal year, fiscal end of the vendor is, and so on and so forth. It is a function that is gradually becoming a science to a certain extent, and you have to be a professor of that science. And that's, again, part of the function. It's not that you are just doing all these things, you educate the business on this as a professor of that science, right? You educate your business on that. There are top performers, top graders, and there are low graders. And you're looking for the ways on how to put the top graders as an example to the low graders, and then to show to the entire organization how these low graders became the top graders. And that's kind of a game we're trying to play. We're trying to make it not just a rigorous process that everybody has to follow, but also some kind of a fun environment where everybody can be part of and be called out for doing great things.
So phase one was really that visibility piece and uncovering some of the things that were probably a little hairy, as you were describing. Cost savings, if I remember correctly, has kind of been the next step.
When we realized the actual value of that program, that's where we realized we need to start showing those savings. We need to bring these savings into our budget planning process in general, right? Because now what we do have overall, right, we are not just coming to our finance team, to our CFO, saying we want to spend X. We're going there, hey, we want to spend X, but we're going to fund it, either fully fund or partially fund it through those savings. And this is not the story of the budget planning. This is not the story of just the forecasting. It's the continuous process where it's happening throughout the year. And you just keep feeding it to the budget. You keep feeding it to the forecast, to the finance team. And then the finance team operations, right? And then they become your biggest supporter if you're doing your job right. And you start working together. You start realizing the value of this collaboration. And you become a good friend with the CFO. What could be better, right?
Yeah, that's fantastic. Like, you guys are not even just thinking about the cost savings, but it sounds like there's already this mindset across different teams in the business for how are we thinking about reinvesting these savings? Mm-hmm. Is it a part of next year's budget? Are we fueling R&D? And that's a really exciting way to think about cost savings.
And it all, again, depends on the organization, right? Some organizations, they will do their showbacks. Some organizations will do their chargebacks, and some organizations won't even do any of that. And then this is where you have to adjust your process to how you do your business, how you run this particular function. And I know that there is not right or wrong answer to this question, right? There are pros and cons of the chargebacks. There are pros and cons of the showbacks and so on and so forth. We're actually in the middle of this road. We are thinking, what do we want to do now? When we got to that point, we were actually can be as transparent as possible. We have all the data we need. And what is our next step? Now, like with some of the features, even from Xylo, that we're trying to leverage is now when we have a new hire request, when the hiring manager comes and say, hey, I need to hire a developer. Now we're going to be supplying our HR team and our finance team with, in addition to this budget of the compensation, this is the SaaS budget that you need to consider in including the entire budget, so that when this person is hired, There is no back and forth of, oh, they need this license. I'm like, but we don't have a budget for this, right? And that's what I was saying. This is a continuous process throughout the year. And as we continue working within the process, we find these new ways to operationalize and to help not just the SaaS ops, but any other operational team within the org.
Yeah, I love how you're thinking about this, the operational mindset of SaaS management and taking that across the business. I want to talk a little bit more about the concept of a SaaS system of record. As Corey alluded to earlier, it's really a critical component of SaaS ops. SaaS system of record is really that means of centralizing your software inventory along with the spend, the contract, the usage data. You know, as you've talked about today, you really can't make decisions without that big picture view of reliable data. Who are the people and what are the processes that have really helped Insurity build and maintain its SaaS system of record?
Within Insurity, this is my team. So this is on the sourcing and procurement team, SPVM function. And it's funny, I'm from Montreal. SPVM in Montreal is the police. So it's the actual Montreal cops. So we're kind of the cops of the SaaS spend. So, but essentially within Insurity, this is the SPVM function, the sourcing, procurement, and vendor management team that is doing most of this. But the data integrity is extremely important. And without the input from every single app owner, there is no data integrity. So I would say the entire organization provides a lot of input and a lot of valuable insights into this, right? So we want to move fast. We want to process these renewals as quickly as possible. We want to be proactive. And data is the key. We've been struggling at the beginning, even before Xylo, right? Because our system of record was SharePoint. And as a result, There were some challenges, but then the way we started, we basically took everything from SharePoint and put it in back into Xylo and started using it the way we were using SharePoint. And again, as we started using it, I'm like, why are we doing that? This is what we need to do. But again, oh, we can't do it because our data is not as clean as we would want it to be. And we would go to the data cleanup exercise, and only after that we would launch what we wanted to launch.
That's fantastic. I want to draw on a point there that you mentioned. You know, data integrity only comes with the help of your app owners and involving people across the business, and ensuring you have that alignment is critical because you're somewhat centralizing a very decentralized and wild category across your organization. I think internally, I've often been known as the one that says, "Hey, you can't just plug in Xylo and money starts to rain from the ceilings and the sky." You've got to have a process and technology aligned around all of that. So how did you get those app owners to engage with you? Whereas today they might own an application and then IT is reaching out to them to say, hey, we're centralizing some strategy here. What was your way to bring them into the program and start to drive that larger full company strategy that is so difficult to get moving out of the gates?
Through the success stories, right? We started slowly and we knew that we cannot just go in and say, we're doing that because we said so, even though like my Russian background was telling me to do it. But the reality was like, no, you can't. Like, and we introduced the program. We said, this is what we're doing. We encourage you to follow this process. And then as we had the early adopters, we went above and beyond. Not that we're not doing this now, but at that time we went above and beyond to produce as much value as possible. And then again, going back to this education analogy, right? We went to the business, we told the story. We had those stakeholders share their experience. And gradually, step by step, we started seeing more and more things coming our way. Then leveraging Xylo capabilities, we started basically, when we brought the entire data in, or most of the data in, all the contracts, we created all the subscriptions. We started enabling the automation, sending out reminders, saying log a ticket. Now we're taking a step further, where now we know that the business trusts us. We actually, through the integration, we submit the tickets in our intake system from Xylo automatically. They know that, oh, this is the procurement ticket I need to provide them. They know what we need. And they already have most of this handy. And again, as part of the renewal, we continue identifying like these missing pieces of information that probably would help us next year, mm-hmm. right? And we document them in Xylo. So with every new renewal for every single application, we have less and less, fewer and fewer questions. And we're getting to the point where it's basically to, do we need it? Yes or no? And they're like, yeah, we need it. And then we do the rest of their work, like on their behalf. We'll do the proper sizing. We'll understand what the usage is. We'll understand how it's used, whether it's adopted well, whether we need to purchase more. And then we'll come to the business with the recommendations based on our findings. And now it's just for them to decide with the data that we give them.
Yeah, Vlad, that, you've created a system of ongoing knowledge. It's the system of record that you're building over time that makes managing this decentralized category yep. easier and easier over time. And that really resonates. And that's data-driven. We always begin.
Absolutely. I'm going to
click down into your last response, because I think probably our listeners want to hear the how you actually drive to that. So, you know, all of the data coming into your system of record, it's critical at the time of renewal. So one of our previous guests always loved to say data is greater than opinion. And that's absolutely true, rings true here at Xylo and for all of our customers. Your system of record is also built so you can make those data-driven decisions at that point of renewal. But with all of your app owners and stakeholders across the company, how do you bring it together before the renewal to hand over to the negotiation team to then optimize? You mentioned right-sizing just a moment ago, but what is that formal process? What are the steps that you take before you say, okay, procurement, this is ready to go, and here's your dossier of information?
Providing the information to the stakeholder is important. Usually, we have a series of dashboards for the stakeholders in Xylo where they can go in and see the information they need. Not everybody's using it. This is one of these things that we continue improving on, and again, through the success stories. And we're seeing a better adoption right now. But there is a long journey for us. It depends on the application, first of all, right? Is it a transactional-based application? If this is a transactional renewal, we need to gather X, Y, and Z. As we identify this X, Y, and Z, through one renewal after another, we create these custom fields in Xylo, if it's not provided by Xylo, and populate it. Then the renewal comes in. We know, okay, for this application, we need to provide this information, and we put it in our ticket, in our procurement ticket for the stakeholder to review and to sign off. In the ideal future, what I would love is to actually, once we all know that all these data points depending on the class and subclass of the application, to build the dashboard and to basically not even put it in the ticket to tell the requester, here's the link, go review, get back to us. One of the projects that we're planning to complete by the end of this year is to finalize this classification and subclassification of the applications. So this will enable us to build these dashboards.
Vlad, thank you for walking us through that process. I want to circle the process back to when you're talking about the cost savings initiative, you know, that the company has. And then you and Corey were talking about, you know, the moment of renewal, like this is the moment, this is the time where those cost savings happen. How are you ensuring that you're realizing that value, that cost savings at the renewal, you know, alongside this process?
Money talks. So we have our budget, right? We know what we need to get to. And if it's below the budget, which happens very often, that's where the value comes in. But it's just speaking, that is why we're very good friends with our finance team. They know that this is my mantra, to be mindful of the budget and to make sure that we deliver the value not just to the business, but to the overall success of the organization, which is part of the, of course, our financial success. So, but we're not going to be investing all this time and effort into like $1,000 renewal, of course, right? We have our own thresholds for the subscription from $0 to $10,000. This is our express process, right? For from 11,000
your prioritization
to 50,000, we're doing this. And the more expensive the subscription is, the more effort we put into the into that. We are having a renewal coming in April. We're already starting to work on this. We're running the analysis. We ran the usage report in Xylo. We shared this with the stakeholder. We proposed the strategy. And we're already getting a pushback on this because we know that it's over-provisioned. And it's a matter of just providing more data. And the value is going to be with this particular one. When we'll downsize it to meet our needs. We had another story recently when the stakeholder came to us and said, I need to renew it as is. We started running the analysis. We started looking at the usage. We started looking at the adoption story. And we started looking at our IT tickets where people were asking for access and were denied access. And they had very strong use cases on why they wanted to use this particular subscription. We actually went back and said, we need to top it up. We need to have more.
Mm-hmm.
And again, like proven by the data, we said there was X number of tickets that were rejected because of the lack of the licenses. We even surveyed the business to make sure that we are on the right track, and it turned out to be we are, and now we've renewed it, and now we're almost at a 95% adoption rate, even with these new users. So that's another value that you're bringing. It's not just about savings, it's about helping the business and the employees and other like different teams to get better.
All that data, the story you just shared, I mean, it really helps that negotiation, that renewal process. Do we need to buy more? And we feel really solid in the reasons why, or no, we need to pull back. We don't need this much, because I can see why your other teams like finance are just loving that partnership and relationship because of the data that you're giving them to really have, you know, like Corey said earlier, those data-driven decisions and feel really confident in the negotiation, what they're doing, because they've got all that fresh knowledge about where really the business stands with this particular application.
Absolutely. You need to justify every single decision, especially within the SaaS operations. It's all about the data and how you can defend your point of view, right? And why this is important. And again, it's not just important internally, it's important externally, right? When you're negotiating with the vendor. Mm. And when you're talking about those things and different sales tactics and techniques that are being applied and used, and back to the science, you know it, right? Oh, that's what they're doing. And my dream is to build a playbook internally. If a sales guy does this, do this. But right now it's all in the head, and we actually built the plan on one of the probably largest renewals. We sat down with our C-level people. It was a big renewal. And we built out the plan in terms of, this will be our first email. This what we believe they will reply. This what we will reply. This is where we want them to be. We want them to say X. How do we get them to say X so that we can continue working on, like, towards this path? So long story short, we got a 85% discount from the original offer as a result. 85%.
Wow.
It was a huge success story within the organization, like within our executive level team. It was a big success that I think I'm probably one of the stories, if everybody asks me, what are you most proud of in your professional life, that'll be the story that I'll tell.
So you have the data, and then you have this art of the negotiation that you're bringing together.
Yep.
And that's really cool.
And the benchmarking data, right? That's also super important. Not just your internal data, not just what your stakeholders are saying, the benchmarking data where you can justify your ask.
Well, Vlad, if you do write the book, it needs to be called The Science of SaaS Ops.
There you go.
Professor Tsapko.
I love it.
It's a sequel to The Art of the Deal, the famous negotiation book. So yeah. Yes, yeah. There you go.
Well, Vlad, obviously this SaaS operations, that program and really skill set and that you've built out, it's been a journey and a process, and you've walked us through some of the iterations and shared some wonderful stories with us along the way today. If let's say you were starting at a new company tomorrow and you had to build this all from scratch again, what would you continue to do? Like, what would you do again that was a real success? And what would you do differently? What did you learn from that maybe, I might not do it quite the same way the next time?
What I'll do the same is probably I'll sign up for Zylo. But I will not sign up for Zylo until I clean up the data. So that's what I wouldn't do. At first, I'll focus on my data quality, and then I'll sign up for Zylo. When you do these two things, but in this particular order, then it's a great shortcut to success. Then there is Zylo, an amazing product. It's the data that drives with Zylo. The application itself pushes you to the next evolutionary step within your process, because you're like, I started doing this. Well, there is this great feature. Let me use this. And I'm like, oh, I can't use this feature because I'm lacking this. So I would do this very, very detailed analysis on all the features that I would like to enable within the next 12 months. And what is the prerequisite? I'll make sure that I have this prerequisite, and then I'll go for Zylo. So what I'll do differently, but nothing else probably.
Definitely nothing else. Vlad, I joke here a little bit, but the leaders that focus on process just as much as feature functionality of an application are the ones that I've seen in my time here working with so many of our clients as the most successful leaders. Understanding the people, process, and technology triangle that you've got to assemble when you're looking to roll out a program. And I think so often we're caught in the plug it in and the results happen. I think you've really leaned into the process and the people on your side at Insurity. It's really, really impressive. And that's proved out to be incredibly valuable for your organization. And you've done that by building value that then begets more value. And now you're putting an automation story around all of that. So it's truly inspiring what you're doing at Insurity. Thank you so much for sharing that story with us. We really appreciate you being here, and we'll see you around. Thanks, Vlad.
Thank you so much, guys.
Thanks,
Vlad. It was a pleasure.